This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, for another hour of Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on a Thursday. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Gester, Max Power in with us. He's got your calls at 869-1240. Want to give a shout out to Crestview Country Club. Appreciate their support of the program. It is, I don't know what I'd call it, golf weather today, Tommy, but we are mixing in some days where those 36 holes of golf sure do look nice. If you're like me, you get out there and you try to play 9 of them at a time. That's kind of been my thing. But it is, we are getting into that season. We talked about your trip to the Masters. That's behind us. It's officially golf season. It's officially golf season.
Yeah, it is. I had the tournament on that's going on this weekend, the RBC Heritage, which is usually the, or always at least, the tournament that is immediately following the Masters. And I had it on in the other room just a little bit ago, and I'm standing there during the commercial break, and they show Wichita Adam Hadwin. They show Wichita Sam Stevens, like in a like 2-minute stretch. I'm like, all right, let's go. Like, we've got some local flavor in this tournament, the RBC Heritage, that's happening this weekend. And then it made me think about, hey, I want to get out and play golf as soon as I can. And Sam Stevens, by the way, is a Crestview member. And so, yep. You know, a little bit of a connection there on the PGA Tour with Sam and all of that. And every time I drive by the course, and I drive by twice a day on my way to work and on my way home from work, I notice how green everything is getting. The rain certainly helps that we got last night, and a little bit, you know, this weekend, it looks like that'll help green things up too. And then you've got Easter. I mean, they're doing a bunch of cool Easter activities. Are you guys doing the Easter stuff this weekend?
No, we haven't talked about it. Aren't they like dropping eggs from a helicopter or something?
Like, usually, I mean, they always do a kid's Easter egg hunt, and my boys love it.
It's chaos, right?
It's a lot of fun. But this year they're stepping it up a notch. They're bringing in a helicopter, like a legitimate helicopter, to drop Easter eggs out of that helicopter. So I don't even know what that's going to be like. It's wild. It's crazy. But that's what Crestview does for you.
Yeah, it's the family events are outstanding. This might be the first Easter brunch we've missed since we've been there. I don't know. This will be fourth time we would have had an opportunity. I remember, and shout out to my daughter's birthday today.
No, which one? Coco.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Coco.
Middle daughter. Happy birthday. So we just, one more anecdote, like when we first joined, we let them know that they made a special plate. They brought out a cake. They made it very special for her. So again, it's that's the family thing that I always talk about, these events, like their big Easter thing. Like, it was during their Easter event, which is massive. It's one of the bigger events that they put on every year. They took the time to give her a special plate, a stuffed animal, like a little special piece of cake and a candle. And they said, like, it was great, great family vibe, tons of great families out there. So give Crestview a call. Again, we keep mentioning this, but it's coming. We're going to give you an opportunity to get out there and play a little golf. Maybe it'll be with us. Maybe it won't be. But an opportunity to check out what we're always talking about in the coming weeks here as we ramp up the golf season and the busy season out there at Crestview. Your video comments are welcome for us as we got a couple of guests in this hour coming up. Joel Lamerno joins us next. Thunder back in the postseason for the first time in 4 years? 21.
Yeah.
2021 was the last time. So we'll have that. We'll also have Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider. What in the world's K-State up to in the portal? I don't even know. We'll have that. We also got calls available to you at 869-1240 and your video comments. Rick chimes in, our great Royals fan. Rick says, I don't get Jacob's fascination with MJ Melendez, a career 216 hitter. I don't think I have a fascination with MJ Melendez. I think I just like the reality is he's there now. And I think it's more likely that he's a meaningful contributor as a corner outfield than say Hunter Renfro. I think the upside's a little higher, but yeah, what is the upside? A 220 hitter with some pop? Maybe. I mean, maybe that's all he is. I mean, at this point it is probably all that he is, but if he can get you the pop, there's some value there, but we'll see. It's another year where he started insanely slow, and the Royals, they're going to have these holes until they get closer to the trade deadline. And if they're not going to play Jack Cactus, talked about yesterday, and we'll talk with our Royals insider, Jalen Thompson, about tomorrow. If Cags isn't coming to the corner outfield, they're going to have to make a trade for a corner outfielder because what they've got run out there right now between Melendez and Renfro, it's not working. It's interesting that they've found a spot for Mikel Garcia in all of this. Him playing center field is a wild development. I think at some point, the way Isbell's going right now, you can probably put one of those two in a corner spot. That's still not going to be the production, at least out of Isbell, that you want long-term. Garcia's bat needs to be in the lineup, and they clearly want it in the lineup. So his versatility to go to the outfield, I think, has been one of the real bright spots of this season. But it's a hole. It's a hole. There's no question. To Rick's point, it's MJ Melendez is a career 216 hitter. I think he'd be happy if he got around 220 at this point. I mean, I would, right? If he can give you 220 and 25 home runs, like, we'll just have to take that because that's what they've got.
Yeah, that's why it's so infuriating, at least to me, or frustrating at least, that they didn't make a move for any kind of corner outfielder in the offseason. And I know that there were priorities elsewhere. It was a top of the lineup type guy. It was trying to, you know, figure out the bullpen, and they brought out over Estevez. They were able to solidify their rotation. Like they checked a lot of the boxes, but man, like just in, even when Renfro and Melendez started to turn things around last season, it wasn't like they were hitting the cover off the ball, right? Like they were trending up, like they had got themselves back up to, I guess, a mediocre baseline, both of them. But it wasn't like either one of them had like flipped a switch and they were, you know, outstanding, lights out in the box. They were able to get back to decent, I suppose. I would have loved to see some kind of upgrade, or at least even not, maybe if not even an upgrade, at least another option. Like, give me somebody else that can play a corner outfield spot that you can at least have a slight bit of optimism around, because I'm not feeling any kind of optimism right now with either Renfro or Melendez.
Yeah, look, I'm going to see if I can pull this up, because I think that's what it is. I think that they did stuff in the second half that made the Royals say, okay, maybe that's it. And for Melendez, maybe it was more of the second half of what they saw in 2023. The second half of 2023, as I'm looking at this, Tommy, he was a 270 hitter. He had 10 home runs in the second half. Last year, it was just a little better, right? He became about a 225 hitter with some pop. So I think that's what it is. They prioritize the other things. And so did I. So I got to be fair to it, because they thought, well, there's no way those guys have that sort of start again, right? There's no way that they do that again, but they are. And so Renfro, just real quick for reference sake, last year in the second half, became a 233 hitter. So it wasn't out of this world, but it got a little better. And I think there's probably just some baked in hope for improvement, but it's not happening right now. And so what do you do? I don't know. Other than play, hope that Isbell keeps hitting and you can play he and Garcia out there at the same time. I don't know what the other options are if it's not Caglione. Caglione has to be another option. Like, you have to see if he can play left field or right field.
They're not doing it. That's not what they're doing.
It's so strange. It's one of the stranger things so far this year. Unless they're comfortable trading him, it's a really interesting thing happening right now, because there's nobody else. They've brought up Drew Waters. Like, there's no other option. So I don't know what you're supposed to do. You got to run at least one of them out there every day. I just don't think there's a lot they can do except hope and pray that one of those guys can get it turned around.
Yeah. I mean, I think that because of the way that they're developing Caglione, is it out of the question that they try to develop him into an outfielder? No, I don't think it's out of the question, but that certainly hasn't been the way that he has started his year in Double A. And I think that, you know, I don't think they're going to. One thing that's important about Caglione's development is I don't think that even though there's a clear need, Cotrero and Piccolo especially, I think are looking bigger picture. They're looking more holistically at Jack Caglione, and they're looking more in the future and like how we don't want to impede his long-term development and his long-term potential in the bigs by rushing him into a corner outfield spot that he's not ready for, even though we might need him to do that right now. I mean, I would imagine that, and we'll get Jalen Thompson's take on this tomorrow, but I would imagine that that's a big consideration. And that's really tough. It's tough to stay the course when you've got gaping holes in your lineup offensively and you could use Caglione right now.
And so the elephant in the room with that is, if they're thinking that way, that means they're not thinking about his bat coming up to help this team, because his bat is blocked unless Salvi's a full-time DH, right? Or Cags can be a DH, which is look, it's possible, you know, between he and Vinny and Salvi, you just, one of them is always going to have to play DH and Salvi's going to have to catch more.
You know, I'm reading an article, Ann Rogers, who's one of the Royals beat reporters for MLB.com. This was back in March. This was before the regular season started. She said that Caglione would start, you know, Double A for the Royals this year, play first base only in Double A. It wouldn't be until he got to Triple A that they would start giving him reps in the outfield.
Okay. Well, maybe that's something then. Maybe they're just letting his bat warm up and then they'll try it at that level. We'll see. We'll talk to Jalen Thompson about it tomorrow. When we come back, though, we'll talk to Joel Lamerno. Little Wichita Thunder hockey talk. They're back in the postseason. Home games this weekend. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after this.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on this Thursday, and we are glad to be joined right now by Joel Lamerno with Wichita Thunder, who get back to the postseason for the first time since 2021. Home games coming up. First one Saturday, 6:05, game one against the Tahoe Night Monsters in the Kelly Cup playoffs. Joel, welcome back into Sports Daily. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
Well, we're good. We're good. We're excited for playoff hockey. Playoff hockey is, you know, it's not just a cliche. It's pretty hard to beat playoff hockey.
Well, you know, it's funny. I told that exactly what I told my staff on Monday. My staff, you know, they've only been around a few years and they have not seen playoffs yet. So I just let them know, like, you think that, like, regular season overtime is intense. Dial that up 10 times. For every shift, and God forbid we get to overtime, because that is the most stressful. Looks like I'm stopped at a train crossing here too, so that's going to be interesting.
Joel, you know, I think as far as the team heading into the playoffs, we're not talking about, you know, the Thunder limping into the playoffs. We're talking about a number two seed, you know, and an opportunity to really make a run in the Kelly Cup playoffs. What have you seen this season from this team that has allowed them to get to this point?
Well, you know, the big thing, you know, coming into the season, as we brought back Jay Dickman, Mikel Stanell, and Peter Bates, three guys that have, you know, proven that they can put the puck in the net and are typically among the top 15, 20 in scoring in the league. And this year, are you still there?
Yeah, we're here. We got you.
Okay, gotcha. It looked like I might have lost you. Okay, and, you know, bringing those guys back was a good base. We brought in a guy towards the end of last year, Kobe Walker, as a rookie, and he's really turned into a star as well. So we ended up finishing with four of the top 10 scorers in the league. You know, I say it all the time, goaltending is going to be really important. And, you know, the last couple of years, and I don't mean Trevor Gorsuch, but, you know, we haven't really had the best goaltenders sent down from San Jose. Well, this year they sent us a rookie who turned out to be a star. Not only was he a star for us, had three shutouts, but he got called up to AHL, and last week got called up to the NHL. So a very quick meteoric ride. And Trevor Gorsuch stepped right back in from last year and just really picked up the pace. So having good goaltending every night is probably the biggest key and the biggest thing we've been missing. But we're just very well-rounded this year, that we can win games any way by offense, defense, goaltending, toughness, power play. One of our best records in league history, or your team is, not just ECHL time, but, you know, 41 wins is a lot of wins. I think we ended up with the eighth best record overall in the league out of 29 teams, so pretty good.
Not too shabby. Joel Lamerno, general manager, Wichita Thunder, joining us here. So what can fans expect this weekend? It's Easter weekend, but you guys get a couple of home hockey games in the evening time. What fun things are in store for the folks that can make it out and cheer you guys on in person?
Well, it's playoff hockey. That's the fun thing most of all. You know, I'll be honest, I think most of us feel the same way. I don't think we were planning on playing this weekend. I don't think many of us thought we'd go into Tahoe, and even though we got a great team, it's, you know, going to a road trip to a team that's in second place to play three games, probably not going to win all three. So I think we felt like we're probably going to be playing next week for the games 3, 4, and 5. So this came upon us quickly. We couldn't put tickets on sale till Monday. So, you know, unfortunately the crowds aren't going to be as big as they are on a typical Saturday because you're starting from scratch in the playoffs. So, but that part they're going to see is the high energy. We are handing out the rally towels on Saturday. Bethel, college, that'll be to the first 1,000 fans. We got the Easter Bunny coming on Sunday. I mean, you've got to take advantage of any opportunity you can. We had to play on Easter Sunday, so the Easter Bunny's going to be there. You know, our options for home games were Saturday, Monday, or Saturday, Sunday. Kid Rock is at the arena Friday, so that didn't work. And I think even though it is Easter, I'd rather play on a Sunday night than a Monday. But, you know, a lot of people have travel plans and holiday plans. So, you know, we're not quite sure what to expect with the crowd. But I know that the people that are there will make a ton of noise. And every shift, be prepared. Every shift is hard, hard, hard. You're going to see more hitting than you see in the regular season. You know, unfortunately, a lot of our new fans haven't got to see this in a few years. So I'm looking forward to everyone getting to see this.
Joel, I want to talk about the coaching staff here a little bit. You know, the faith that the organization has had in Bruce Ramsey, who's been with the team for several years now, to bring this team back to the playoffs. I think that that's a huge storyline for sure. And then first-year assistant coach and Thunder legend Travis Clayton coming back and joining the coaching staff as an assistant to Bruce Ramsey. What has that meant? And then just the overall vibe and the work that Bruce Ramsey has put in this season.
Well, there's a few things to this. I mean, Bruce has always been a hard worker, and I've said this before to the staff and to people. Having a coach that is a good character is very important. Bruce is a hardworking guy, but he's got great character. And, you know, that's something I've learned over the years you need to have in a coach. And he just makes everyone's lives so much easier. He's easy to work with. The guys like him, and the guys come back and play for him. And, you know, when you think about recruiting, he's recruited some of the best players in the league here. Of the top 10 scorers in the league this year, 6 of the 10 actually play for or played for the Wichita Thunder, which just goes to show the level of talent that he's able to bring in. Travis Clayton, it's a good story. You know, I have stayed in touch with Travis for the last several years. He has been wanting to get into coaching, and I have stayed in touch with him about that. And he was actually going to be our assistant coach last season, but we couldn't get anything worked out with immigration since he is Canadian. So, you know, we talked towards the end of last season, and I said, Bruce, I'd like to bring in Travis as our assistant coach. I know our other old assistant, John Gerskis, was looking to move on and get a head coaching job, which he did in the SPHL, which is one league below us, and he's won his first round playoffs, and he's into the Final Four, so good for him. So, but Travis is again, he's wanted this job so badly that he works really hard to make sure that he does a tremendous job. And, you know, him and Coach played together, so they know each other. And the guys like him. And I've talked to some of the guys, and they talk about what he's brought to the team. So also important, again, I talk about overall, I think we're just a very well-rounded team. Now, I know anything can happen in the playoffs. I mean, 8 seeds beat 1 seeds in sports. It happens. There's upsets, but you know, I feel more confident going into the playoffs this year than I have in a long, long time.
So here's the schedule for it. Joel Lamerno with us, the Thunder, back in the postseason. 2 games this weekend, 1 Saturday, 1 Sunday. Those are games 1 and 2. And then if necessary, that's if the Thunder don't just roll through this 7-game series in a sweep of Tahoe, they'll play back here next Tuesday. Well, sorry, it'd be 2 Tuesdays from now, Tuesday the 29th. And Wednesday the 30th would be a potential game 7. Joel, fans can go to WichitaThunder.com, I assume, and get those tickets?
Absolutely, and let's hope we're not playing a game 7. That's too much stress. But, you know, we get through the series. We're playing in May, which is awesome. And for you stat geeks out there, me, who is one of them, this actually will be our 3rd ever game played on Easter Sunday. Playoff wow. All 3 times, and we're 0-1-1 on Easter Sunday, so I'm expecting it to be 1-1-1 after this weekend. And I know my daughter is Cynthia is here, and she's not getting to listen to her kids bop, so she's suffering. But are you excited for Thunder hockey, Cynthia? Did you want to say anything?
No.
She says no. Okay.
I'm watching a squirrel eat corn from a tree.
She's watching a squirrel eat corn that's hanging from a tree. So there's your play-by-play of the outgoings here in Mays, Kansas.
All right. Well, Joel, good luck to your Bengals. They got to learn how to play some defense if they're gonna get anything done next year. But
well, you know, we're
ready.
We're gonna put up 55, 60 points a game this year, so I think we'll be okay even with a mediocre defense.
And allow 58. Joel, fantasy football appreciates them. Hey, good luck this week with the Thunder. Fans, get out there, check them out. You'll have two opportunities this weekend to watch some playoff hockey. We're glad you guys are back in the postseason, and thanks for stopping by Sports Daily with us here.
Always a pleasure. Thank you. See you.
There goes Joel Lamerno, general manager, Wichita Thunder. Tommy's former life. Good to see them back in the postseason. Yeah. Man, playoff hockey's awesome.
Yeah, you know, I spent 2 years working full-time for the Thunder from 2021 to 2023. I came in right after the Thunder had made the playoffs the last time. The Thunder didn't make the playoffs at all when I was on staff, so it's really exciting to see what they've been able to do this year. I'm a big Bruce Ramsey fan. He's a heck of a coach, and you know, as Joel mentioned, yeah, the players love him. They love playing for him. And the fact that, you know, the organization had faith in Ramsey bringing him back for another year, and now they're on this run in the playoffs. You know, that's absolutely gratifying and well deserved. And, hopefully they're able to make it to the next round.
So you're saying all they needed to do to get back to the postseason was get you out of there?
Yeah, get rid of me. Get rid of their marketing guy. They get rid of their marketing guy. They're back in the playoffs.
Yeah, see, just sometimes a little change is all that needed. Let's stay on a local sports beat here. A couple more things happening today. You've got the NBC World Series making an announcement in conjunction with, have you seen this, with the Wichita wind surge here this morning? That is happening, I think, around 11. I don't know what it is. I haven't asked. But I have to imagine if the NBC World Series is making an announcement at Equity Bank Park in conjunction with the wind surge, hopefully that means at least some games for the NBC World Series will get back downtown. So I don't know that to be the case. I'm just trying to use my context clues here, and we'll see. That's coming today. That was another little local headline, I think, of some interest. And look, Wichita State's done a really nice job hosting those games. But I do think if that's the case, there is something about having at least part of that tournament be played in downtown Wichita.
Yeah, that was always a huge appeal for the NBC World Series, was the fact that they worked well with, at the time, the Wichita Wranglers. And, you know, the Wranglers would leave town for, you know, a couple of weeks and allow for the NBC World Series to take over Lawrence Dumont Stadium. I know it's different nowadays, and you know, you're dealing with a lot of different entities and that sort of thing. So I don't think that the expectation should probably be for the entire tournament to take place at Equity Bank Park. I would imagine that's a little unrealistic. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Just my guess would be that's unrealistic, but at least some of the games, or maybe a championship round or whatever that is, being played downtown at the crown jewel of downtown Wichita, I think is really important for the park. It's really important for the NBC World Series, and I would say it's important for the city of Wichita too.
Yeah, I agree. Another local headline yesterday, this kind of came right as we left the air. Rick Mumma, president at Wichita State, echoing the sentiments of Kevin Saul with an opinion piece in the Wichita Eagle, basically backing it up and asking for $1 million again. What do you make of all this, Tommy? Like, it's interesting to see the, you know, some sort of blitz here to get this funding. I think the timing could have been a little better, honestly. I think this would have been better to come. I joked with you yesterday, been like, man, it'd been nice to send that out right after that Memphis game, right? Not right before you get, whether it's true or not, and it's probably not, like the perception of the portal and what it can do to you. Every team's dealing with all their players leaving, but it still doesn't feel good. And so, you know, I get it. They need a little more funding.
They need a lot more funding. It's not a little.
Here's
more
what
funding.
I like about it. I don't. Well, but I don't know what funding looks like in higher education. Like, you know, you're talking about $1 million. We're talking about the political scene and how much money is thrown around. And like, I don't know. I just know college is too expensive. That's all I know. So I don't know how realistic or hard or difficult it is. I don't know. But it's $1 million. $1 million is $1 million. I do, though. Here's what I appreciate about the letter from Saul and this opinion piece from Mumma. The very pointed efforts to paint Wichita State as a premier basketball program in the country, not as a we want to be competitive with our peers in the American Athletic Conference, not any of that. No. Elite. right? They need to be in that top 25 category every single year. And I agree with it. That's what I like about this. Like this, you know, now whether the results so far under Paul Mills have been good enough, we can debate that. I would say that they haven't. The university obviously is very happy with them. Wins and losses wise, it's a big year, I think, in that regard. But I appreciate the desire to paint the program there and make no bones about it, right? Here's where the program can and needs to be. And it's good for the, like that. That's the part of it I like, because that's the part that's true. It's absolutely true. Like they need to be selling out Charles Koch Arena the majority of the time with a program that's consistently right around the top 25. They do. And if they don't, it's not been successful enough, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, I think that regardless of the timing of it, regardless of the appetite from the fan base to contribute, you know, I do appreciate the transparency of it. I do appreciate the honesty from both Kevin Saul and Rick Mumma. I mean, you know, they're calling it like it is. They're not sugarcoating it. They're not saying, hey, yeah, look, like we're good. Like what? It's we need this. Yeah, this is where we're at right now. And whether or not the reaction from the fan base and the donor base and all of that is positive and they're willing to step up and support this, I don't know. I think the jury is still out on that. But at the end of the day, they've been very direct and very open about the need. And it's a unified front, which I also appreciate. There seems to be a coordinated effort in making sure that, you know, all of the ducks are in a row and they know this is how we are communicating this, that we believe we are a premier basketball institution at Wichita State. And this is what we're going to need to compete on this level and get us back to where we feel like we should be. So I do appreciate that part of it. I think time will tell. The jury is still out on whether or not, you know, that sort of effort is reciprocated by the fan base and the donor base.
I don't know where this portal stuff ends, but it's math. Wichita State does not have to pay football players. It's math. Are they ever going to generate as much through NIL as KU or K-State does? Of course not. But they also don't have to pay football players. I don't think it's unreasonable for Wichita State to be in the NIL market in college basketball at the same level, not as KU, but as some of the teams around them regionally, like Oklahoma State, right? Texas Tech has blossomed into this power. But when you've got 85 fewer players to pay through the portal at that level, when it's essentially, when we're talking about NIL, right? Men's basketball, women's basketball, and baseball. I think baseball still fits there. At least it does here. They ought to be able to do a lot of good there. And so we'll see what they can do. But it has to start somewhere. And that's been the challenge. You have to get to that starting line. Maybe they really do feel like it's there and they're on the right track. I would tell you that, you know, again, 10th place and 8th place in the American Athletic Conference that's been watered down is not there, not even close. But you got to get there.
Yeah, and
you got to get there to motivate fans.
I just wonder, I think my major concern is with this messaging and with this, you know, sort of onslaught of letters and opinion pieces and all of that. Are they shouting into the abyss?
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And joining us now, digging deep into something, is Tim Fitzgerald.
What's
Tim,
up?
K-State. Portal. Are they digging deep? What do we think so far? Three players in, from what I can tell. Two of them moderately highly touted. We wondered what was going on with nobody going out. Now everybody's sort of going out. Doug McDaniel out, Brendan Hawson out, Onyeso out, Buddy Rich, we did think would be out, is out. So what is this looking like for you? Are you satisfied with the players that are coming in? Do you think they're going to get into the mix for some blue chippers? Where do you stand with the portal so far?
I'm a bit confused. I thought retention was going to be an emphasis, and they've had a couple players, notably Rittenhousen and Doug McDaniel that we thought were staying. Nothing else has really surprised me, but they've just had an erosion of what we thought would be the returning players, and those two guys were starters. And it's a little confusing for fans because they thought the coaching staff was going to try to keep everyone together. And obviously they probably tried, but they haven't been successful. And the rate of outgo is far exceeding the rate of income. And I think fans know that this is an important season and are a little befuddled about what they're seeing.
Do we know, is there any story surrounding Doug McDaniel's entry into the transfer portal? Is there any speculation as to why? Is it dollars? Are there other programs that are going to throw more money at him?
Yeah, I think that it was all money motivated. He wanted a number. K-State didn't want to give that number, and off he went, which is, you know, kind of an increasing story in the college athletics world right now with what happened with Tennessee. So, you know, that's a reality that's hard to overcome, that players are just in a money grab. Let's keep in mind that this is the last breath of this corrupted NIL where you're just flat out paying players. The House settlement will bring, you know, rev share into House, and NIL will have to be, supposedly, if the NCAA actually enforces its own rules, actual name, image, and likeness, which is lending, you know, that to an entity on their behalf and getting paid for it instead of just getting paid to come play, which has always been against the rules, but the NCAA hasn't enforced it.
So what do you think that looks like then? Because I think we all think there's an end coming. Nobody likes the way it currently stands. Most people think players should be being compensated. So, Tim Fitzgerald, gopowercat.com, what is the ideal end game? I've said forever it's just simply contracts with buyouts and all these things. Is it that simple? Can it be that simple?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, the athletics industry, college athletics industry, is resisting employees because then you get into collective bargaining and it gets a lot stickier. And then you get into, you know, insurance and retirement and all the things that actual employees get. I understand why they're resisting it, but I think it's almost inevitable that these athletes have to be seen in some way as contracted labor. And I don't see any way around it. But we're in a situation now where everything's in such limbo. But we're going to head to a little bit more organized and structured system in the future, which will mean one thing. Schools will just go back to paying players under the table. I mean, that's where we're headed. The money won't necessarily stop flowing. It just won't be through, you know, announced arrangements that we paid this guy $500K to come play a season. They'll just pay him under the table and go back to that system, which was also flawed.
I want to look at this from Jerome Tang's perspective and kind of a big picture look. You know, he went on record, you know, saying that ideally he would love to build a program like what Kelvin Sampson has done at Houston. I'm sure everybody would love to build a program like that, but really valuing long-term development, not having to go and rebuild a roster every single year, et cetera, et cetera. And it seemed like initially when we had that first period where there weren't players that were entering the portal from K-State, like, all right, he might be able to have a little bit of continuity here. I would imagine that this is a little bit of a gut check for Jerome Tang, knowing that even though ideally he wants to do it a certain way, just the reality is he's not going to be able to.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. They're pulling out all the stops. They've got a coach overseas that's been scouting quite a bit. I think we're going to see some international players on this roster next year to add to it. It's just a really competitive market. And, as he knows darn well, you got to have money to get players. They did that last year, and they got the players who just wanted the money. This is the minefield that is NIL in the portal. I contend that if a player's motivation is get the most money from whatever school it is, they're not picking on anything other than that for the most part, you don't want those guys on your team because they're not motivated by a team. They're motivated by purely financial reasons. I'm not saying it's not okay to go get the biggest contract, but as long as it's part of a bigger picture and you're bought in. And I think the teams that have found a way to find the players that are bought in despite an NIL number being met are the ones being successful. And the ones who are just paying players to come in like mercenaries who really don't believe in your cause, well, they're struggling. And I think that's been K-State's problem.
Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, joining us at Life of Fitz on X. I want to talk a little football here, Fitz. We noticed this earlier this week because it's just impossible to follow. A couple things that I noticed that I just became aware of is that, A, Texas Tech is the top transfer class as of right now in college football, which is pretty wild. Colorado is the next highest Big 12 team, but is a top 25 transfer class, which tells us Prime still seems to be fully committed. Kansas is right around 25, which I think is good for the state of Kansas. K-State's not really up on this list anywhere, but we didn't really expect them to be right there. A lot of their dollars went to retention. What have you made of K-State, the Big 12, the league, and what's happened in the portal?
Y'all have to find, every school has to find their own path, what works for them. And for Chris Klieman, I think we've seen it. They're doing a good job of maintaining their roster and not letting schools raid their roster. The dollars are aimed internally where they can, you know, build some continuity and then bring in some players around that. I think we're going to see some transfers come in and have an impact. Tech's just a different situation. They had a wealthy donor decide to, you know, chip in a number of millions of dollars, a rancher out there, to do this right before all this settlement sets in. And that's what a lot of schools are doing. They're trying to load up. They're trying to change their narrative, so to speak, and get some momentum going. And I think Tech has attacked this in a very interesting manner, and we'll see if it works or if they just went out and found a bunch of guys that wanted the highest number. I think the portal is really good for rebuilding, but it can also lead to fool's gold. So I will be interested to see how all this plays out, although Tech has brought in a ton of talent.
I do have one other basketball question, shifting gears back to that really quick. The first commit for Kansas State in 2025, Ashton McGee, reopened his recruitment yesterday, decommitted from Kansas State and Jerome Tang. Is there a story behind that you've been able to find? What happened there?
We're not sure at this point. It happened, you know, last evening, and we think it's a matter of just kind of mutually they decided, hey, this wasn't the right thing. But also part of it is a member of the staff who had been here last year. This was his connection, and now he's an assistant coach at Louisiana Monroe. Surprising if this young man ends up there. So looking at this kid's film, I there's an upside to him. There's no doubt. He's hyper-athletic, but he's really raw. And K-State was his only really significant offer, and I just don't know why K-State offered him if, at the end of the day, they didn't really want him. This is not a good look for K-State, even if it's the young man backing out, because he didn't have a lot of other offers, so he'd prefer not to go to K-State over nothing else tangible. It's just not a good look at all, you know, right before signing period that you cut a kid loose, or the kid cut himself loose, you know, probably for reasons that were motivated by how he was being handled by the coaching staff. There's not much positive news out of K-State basketball. Both the transfers they got are solid players, but boy, it doesn't nearly stop the bleeding for this program.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough as the high school component of it all. It might be the most difficult when you're not talking about the elite, elite blue chippers. Where do the rest of them fall? I think some of these smaller schools are going to become feeder schools, which is, you know, good for their chances to get really good players. But I don't know what else these young guys are supposed to do to catch playing time.
Yeah, I know. And you're exactly right. The problem for these smaller schools is they're going to get a young player and they're going to have one good season out of them.
Yep.
And, you know, as soon as they develop them, they'll have one good year and boom, they're in the portal. I don't blame the kids. You know, and that will continue even in the revenue share because these smaller schools won't have that.
Right.
So you'll be transferring to have them, you know, basically a monthly salary. So it's just the way college sports is now. The courts have forced this. It's just been kind of unchecked. And the chaos will continue for a little while longer until the House settlement kind of finds its, you know, place. And then let the cheating begin, because we're going to go back to that system.
Yeah. And right, wrong, or indifferent, right? These guys earn it. So it's hard to fault the players.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, somebody, if you're worth what somebody's willing to pay you. Fitz, we appreciate it. Go find everything at GoPowerCat.com, and we'll talk again next week.
Thank you, boys.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald. Always a pleasure. Yeah, I don't know where this all ends up. It's complicated. I again, same thing I'll always say. The chaos will end. It has to. I don't know how yet exactly, but it's hard to keep up with. I will say, though, in when the season starts, like it hasn't prohibited me from enjoying anything any less. I think I enjoy the off seasons a little less. Some people like the chaos, like this free agency period every year. Some people are intrigued by it. I'm not, you know, but once the games start, I'm all good with it. Tommy, real quick, as we wrap up our final full segment, Royals, Lorenzen, Reese Olson tonight, who's not been very good this year. It's a big opportunity for the Royals. 5:40 first pitch, by the way. I gotta get one here. You gotta go get one, especially against this team. You know, it's too early to really look at or care about the standings, but right now Detroit's been off to a good start. They're 10-7. They're at the top of the division. If you need a motivating factor, go. There they are. They're your first place team. You can overtake them with a good series.
Yeah, Lorenzen's been okay this season for the Royals through his first three starts. He's
been what he needs to
be. He's 1-2, right? He hasn't, you know, for sure. As your fifth starter, he's been okay. An ERA under 4, you know, he's averaging just under 6 innings a start. And so, you know, you've got to be able to give him a little bit of run support, and it would be fantastic, because this hasn't happened in a minute. It'd be fantastic if the Royals offense can give him a lead to then turn it over to the bullpen, so they can have, you know, a little bit of a set path to a win tonight. I know that's asking a lot for Kansas City, but, you know, if Lorenzen does his job, which he has done through the first three starts, even though he's 1-2, they've got to get him some run support tonight in Detroit.
This is an opportunity to do it if you're going to go up against those Detroit pitchers. Reese Olson's not been very good so far. Go get him.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for a Thursday edition of Sports Daily today. Our thanks to Wichita Thunder General Manager Joel Lamerno joining us to talk about Thunder hockey in the playoffs. Our thanks to Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, talking K-State. You can catch all of that, if you missed any of it, by going back and listening on the free Odyssey app. Tonight here on KFH, Wichita State baseball on the road in Boca Raton, taking on Florida Atlantic. We've got all the action for you. Rich Eisen follows us next. Jim Rome at 2. JR Sport Brief at 5. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Sports Daily. Our Royals insider, Jalen Thompson, joins us to talk about the Royals and everything going on with them. For Max Power, for Jacob Albrocht, I'm Tommy Castor. We'll see you tomorrow.